Thanks for coming. Man, I agree. Good-looking audience. I mainly need my glasses or sunglasses or reading. But I told the doctor I wanted to be able to look out how handsome the men were. I don't mean this as a disrespect. How beautiful the women are. So good to have all of you this morning. And thanks for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you from God's holy and precious word. I believe it'll be all right. Let's have another prayer. Not scheduled. Again, Father, we're just so thankful for all that you have done for us. Father, we're thankful for those that have gone before, their commitment and sacrifices so that we can enjoy what we have today. Father, we're so thankful for all of our present Bible school teachers, especially those on the adult level. Father, we're so thankful for Brian and his family, and we ask your richest blessings to be with them. Be with the saints everywhere, and may we, everywhere we might be, have uppermost in our minds, what do you want for our lives? Again, thank you for the gift of Jesus. His name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, let's turn to, this will be our main text, the book of Acts, chapter 10, and beginning at verse 24 through verse 33. My thesis is, in this reading, we have the ideal audience. That includes you, and that includes me, doesn't it? This is the New King James Version. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Keep that in mind. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. I don't know how many there were, but the text says many. Now, earlier we read his relatives and close friends. Now, let's continue reading verse 28. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation." Took a lot of courage for Peter. He's a Jew. Cornelius is a Roman. We generally say they were Gentiles. I wonder if the audience consisted of more Gentiles than Jews. "But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." I'm going to assume you remember what God had to do to enforce that thinking on the life of Peter. He had preached it in Acts 2. But I wonder how much time had elapsed between Acts 2 and Acts 10. And now he realizes, that's true, isn't it? The gospel is for all. "Therefore, I came without objection, as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, "For what reason have you sent for me?" So Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms or charitable giving are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner.'" Couldn't help but think that's really a play on names, isn't it? "When he comes, he will speak to you." Now later we'll return to verse 33. "So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God." So that's our main text. If you really want to get ambitious, read all of Acts chapter 10 and verse 11 again. And remember our emphasis. Here's the ideal audience. Brian wants an ideal audience, doesn't he? That includes me. So I'm sure you've already done it, but let me remind you, you need to pray for Brian as the speaker. But also pray that in our area he will have an ideal audience. Now, I thought about it. Wouldn't we like to be known as the congregation in the area that has an ideal audience? So think about it. Did I read about an ideal audience? Speaker, Apostle Peter, the audience, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, his relatives, close friends, many of them. Was that an ideal audience? So think about that. Do we need to restore in the 21st century the ideal audience? I want to do 3 things this morning. And incidentally, I can see the clock back there, so that will be our authority. I won't look at mine, I'll just look at that one. Number one, we want to briefly review the importance of proper listening. Number two, we want to think about the different reactions in an audience to the preached word in the first part of Acts. And then our major emphasis will be on some practical rules to follow. I need to follow, you need to follow, so we can be that ideal audience. Now I'm going to assume you agree it's extremely important for proper listening. And we need to listen to God first. What does he want? What does he think? You remember at one point in the ministry of Jesus, he spoke in parables. Earthly story with a spiritual meaning. But if you will read the chapters of the miracles in Mark 4:24, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Then in Luke's account, chapter 8, verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. And then, as Patrick read earlier, and I appreciated that, I didn't want it to be all a Darrow day, and so I appreciate Sly and the others that I thought just to speak was enough, but I was ready for the bread and the cup and the giving. Now, I personally agree with the thought that James was the Lord's brother, half-brother. So then James comes along and says, basically in what Patrick read, chapter 1, verse 25, take heed what you do. So briefly, my Lord says, Harry, take heed what you hear and how you hear. And then for our lesson, I'm going to say his brother comes along and says, also take heed what you do. What? How? Do. And I'm sure Brian will emphasize, or already has, isn't it in each letter to the churches in Revelation? Take heed what the Spirit says to the churches. So I'm going to assume, based on these verses and many others, the importance of listening. Listening particularly to what God wants and says. Now, let's go to the opening chapters of Acts. It's amazing the reactions in the audience to the Word of God. Now, in Acts 2, there's Peter and the other apostles speaking. When you read Acts 2, they were cut to the heart. That was rather revolutionary, wasn't it? Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah, the promised Christ, the anointed of God. Not Moses, it's now Jesus Christ. And you know how some in the audience reacted. Those that gladly received Peter's message were baptized. We couldn't get them in here at Sanford, could we? There were around 3,000 that were baptized. We couldn't get 3,000 in here if our life depended on it. It'd be nice to have that problem, wouldn't it? But that was a very favorable reaction. I often wonder how many Jews there were in Jerusalem. At least they heard what Peter had to say. But about 3,000 said, Peter, you're right. And they had asked, what shall we do? Is there something we need to do if Jesus is the Messiah? The Christ, the anointed of God. In my Bible, we go to chapter 5. High priests and the Sadducees, let's just say, are not happy with what the apostles are doing. And so Peter and the others, they're defending themselves. And as they listen, they become furious. In fact, to such an extent, now remember, this is the council, the Sanhedrin of the Jews. They want to kill the apostles. And if Gamaliel, who's a Pharisee, had not spoken up, and basically what he said was, this is the paraphrase, if what they're preaching is of men, it'll die. Leave it alone. If they're preaching the will of God, we better listen, because we can't overcome it. So, who did they listen to? Remember, they're ready to kill the apostles. Acts 5. They call them back in. First of all, they beat them. I would just say, ouch. That included Peter, didn't it? They beat the apostles. And then they said, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anyone any more about this Jesus. We don't want to hear it. We don't want others to hear it. But think of it. They beat them. And then we go to Acts 7. We usually think about Stephen as the first Christian martyr. I'm going to assume you know how the story goes. They didn't like what he had to say. Well, his outline of the Old Testament was terrific. But his application then, all of this leads up to the coming of Jesus. They gnashed at him with their teeth. Now, the best illustration I found, can you picture the Supreme Court? The justices gnashing at those that are presenting their arguments? Gnashing at them with their teeth? I believe all of us would agree. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. We don't want our Supreme Court justices reacting that way. But this is the council, the Sanhedrin. And then they took Stephen out and stoned him to death. I've often wondered, how long would it take to kill someone with stones? I again would say, ouch! To one stone. That hurt. But how many stones would they need to throw before I would die? So I find that interesting. That's just the early chapters of Acts. In chapter 2, they're very favorable to the preaching of Peter. At least 3,000 are. But then in chapters 5 and 7, it's changed. Here. We don't like what you're preaching. So, how do you react? How do I react to the lessons that Brian presents? We want to do God's will. I wish you'd leave Sanford. Or it might even be nice if you weren't around and we'd kill you and your family. So, again, how do you react? How do I react? Now, this is going to be the major emphasis. Remember our thesis. Acts 10. Well, I know we emphasize a lot of other things, but this morning, our affirmation is, that's the ideal audience. And we need to be the ideal audience here at Sanford. I'll suggest what we need to do. First of all, get ready to listen. share responsibility with the speaker. Keep your attention on the speaker and his message. Sift, measure, evaluate, whatever word you want to use. But then there's another point. Apply it to yourself and practice it every day. Oh, Brian preached to brother so-and-so today. No, he preached to you and to me. Oh, his lesson was for sister so-and-so. No, it was for me. And I need to apply it to me and practice it. Or if you like another set of words, we need to prepare to listen to the message. Incidentally, I still like 603. I am mine no more. Every Sunday morning I pray, Lord, help me to get something out of the class and the service. And I will have to acknowledge the prayer's been abundantly answered. And I told Doug today, I appreciate when he points out Bible geography. Now, I'm going to assume those of you who were in the auditorium, you remember what he had to say about Gilgal. Oh, we read it, but do we know where it is? How it was used in God's scheme of redemption? So we need to prepare to listen. I need to approach it. Brian's going to have something to say. And I still remember the one brother in one of the meetings we had. Do you remember his three P's? Preparation, participation, and then I thought, I wonder what his third P is going to be. And it was purity. You prepare on Saturday for Sunday. Would that include listening to what Brian has to say? And then on Sunday, you participate. I liked the lesson last week. God's the spectator. Not you or me. We're supposed to be participants. And then the rest of that Sunday, Monday through Saturday, I meant to live a pure life. I probably like the word a little better, a holy life. But that really caught my attention. Preparation. Participation, then purity. Share the responsibility with the speaker. It's a privilege to hear Brian, isn't it? Let me say, earlier it was a privilege to hear Billy and Jeff. But do we view it as a privilege? You speak, I'll listen. And I've told some here, you'd think we had assigned pews, wouldn't you? Because my wife and I always sit near the front. Well, that's a habit, and then I have a little hearing problem. So I hear better at the front than I do at the back. But is it a privilege for us to sing, for us to take the Lord's Supper? I would include give too, but that's another sermon. Is it a privilege then to listen to Brian? Now, I'm sure we want the art of speaking, but we're emphasizing the art of listening. So what all's included in the art of listening? We want Brian to emphasize the art of speaking. What about the art of listening? And then, I've heard all my life, even growing up, we evaluate everything in light of this book. Right? And then we've already noted James comes along and really emphasizes, you not only need to hear, but you need to be a doer of the word. A doer of what God wants. I need to apply it myself. And I need to practice it the rest of the week. Now, I will admit, there have been some days when I left and my toes hurt a little. That's what he's supposed to do. If he stepped on my toes, so what? I don't want God stepping on my toes. He can. So. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Verse 33, again. I thought about it all week. Why are we here? Why am I here? Why are you here? Why did Peter make that trip? He didn't know what really to expect in the house of Cornelius and his relatives and close friends. So I sent to you immediately. And you have done well to come. Cornelius sent immediately for Peter, didn't he? And he was glad that Peter had come, even if he was a Jew. Now, therefore, we are all present before Brian. No, that's not what it read, did it? We are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by the Church of Christ. That's not how my Bible reads. To hear all the things commanded you by God. Now, I'm still listening to the pros and cons for climate change. But my comment in the class was, we need to keep God in our discussion of climate change. Now, he's still in control. I like the song, "This is my Father's world." It still is. Oh, we might think maybe it's the world of the United States of America, but it's our Father's world. So, now, let's apply the lesson. Basically, what we've been saying is you need to trust God and listen to God and obey the will of God. So maybe for some of you in our audience today, you need to obey the gospel. It's not an ideal audience until you obey the gospel. To those of us that have been members of the Lord's body for a while, we need to be faithful. We need to live that pure or holy life to bring honor to God and Jesus and the Spirit. Maybe that's the application this morning. I still need to trust in God. I still need to be faithful to His way. And I've already suggested, would it violate Scripture for the Sanford Church of Christ to be known in the area as the group of God's family that are emphasizing being an ideal audience? Now, we're assuming we already have an ideal preacher or speaker. But you can go there and rest assured the audience is going to be ideal. The audience is going to be in harmony with the will of God. So I thought about that. Why am I here? Why are you here? Why do we even have a service like this? Incidentally, I still like the earlier normal, maybe a little better than the present, but there are going to have to be some changes in light of the pandemic. But again, let's keep God in the picture. This is still His world. He's still in control. Oh, we might think, no, it's the president that's in control, or the Congress, or the Supreme Court, or someone else. But it's God. So we're going to have a song of encouragement. We serve a gentle Savior. And that's the good news that I believe the entire world and even our country needs to hear. There's a gentle Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. And we need Jesus Christ in our lives. So, again, if you need to respond as part of the ideal audience, we hope you will. While we ask you to stand, and the band will lead us.